Praise the Lord. Well, how many of you were not here in August when I did the first teaching? You weren't here? You weren't here? Some weren't here. Okay. Well, back in August, I did a teaching called Foundational Healing Truths. That was August 1st. And tonight, I'm going to do part two of that. But what I am going to do is a quick review and then continue on. And we covered 17 truths or 17 topics that are important in the area of healing. And then we're going to, after the review, we're going to do number 18. But I also understand, and Dan, you can correct me, that if you weren't here and wanted to catch up on part one, it's on the internet. Go on to Redeeming Love Christian Center website, and under the healing topic, you can get that for, it was August the 1st. Okay, so part two is tonight. And as we said the last time, after you study the Word of God, it's always God's will to heal. This is the culmination. This is kind of the conclusion we come to. But God's perfect will is that we don't get sick to start with, but that we walk in divine health all the time. Amen? So as we go through these teachings, the pastors are teaching on healing, and as we go through this, you're going to come to that conclusion, and you get stronger and stronger in the Word, and you have transformed your mind by renewing your mind on the Word of God, and you will have that revelation. So the pastors have been doing the same thing, coming to the conclusion it is the perfect will of God to heal. And that's what we're looking at. So in the review, the first thing was that healing is a gift. And if you recall, it's part of the salvation package. We looked at the fact that the word sozo, which is the Greek word for salvation, it doesn't mean just having your sins forgiven and getting to heaven and having eternal life. It also includes deliverance and protection, healing, prosperity, provision, eternal life. It covers everything. So healing is a gift that's included in that umbrella of salvation. And we cover that. None of us earned our salvation. None of us were worthy of it. It was a gift. And it's the same thing with healing. Amen. We said that if medical science heals, it heals through the physical realm. You go to the doctor, you get a prescription. Okay. If Christian science heals, it's through the mind. But when God heals, it's through the spirit. It's spiritual healing, and it's divine healing. It's received from God the Father the same way that our new birth is received in the human spirit. The second thing we covered was that God wants only the best for his creation. We saw scriptures, James 1:17, everything that's good comes from God. Okay? And so if there's a problem not receiving, it's not with the giver, it's on the end of the receiver. Okay? And just like you can have a bad telephone connection, all right, and you get static, okay, figure out what the static is, get it straightened out, and get that connection back in place. The third thing was there's nothing wrong with using medicine. People go to the doctor, he gives them prescriptions, okay? You need to be praying about whether you're to go to the doctor. But it's okay. It's okay to use medicine. And we know that God will take the natural plus the supernatural and make an explosive force for God. But here's the key. They do not have the final word. Amen. Okay? And they are not the ones that you put your trust in. Amen. What happens many times is, well, people go to the doctor and go to God as plan B and go to God after the fact. But go to God always number one. Amen. Okay? Amen. The fourth thing that we covered, I shared a little excerpt from what happened in one of my classes, and it was just simply this. One of the instructors simply in the middle of class said, God is not going to heal you. And you could hear a pin drop. Nobody moved. And then he explained it. Why? That's right. You are already healed. Okay? So here's the key, though. People are going around talking in the future. Well, I'm going to get my healing, or when I get my healing. No, it's already done. And that's where the problem comes in. We are to speak to the mountain and stay out of the future. This is a gift that was already provided. Some things are promises and some things are facts. Healing is a fact that was already provided at Calvary. Jesus is not going back to the cross. Okay? So stay out of the future. Speak to the mountain. Don't be speaking about it. Speak to it. And realize that you already have that. And we looked at Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. We looked at 1 Peter 2, 24. Remember, Peter was there, witnessed Jesus go to the cross. And he's the one that says, by his stripes, we were healed. Past tense. We looked at 2 Peter 1, 3. Looked at it in different translations. And again, past tense things that Jesus took care of for us. Okay, it was already done. So that's part of what you need to remember. The fifth thing was that each one of us has to settle this subject that it's God's will to heal for ourselves. Okay? I can't do it for you. Each one of us has to be taught, convinced, believe, and step out in faith that it's God's will to heal. Okay? So this is something that everybody has to deal with, and I'm believing that you're going to eventually, as you get more and more of the word, you're going to see that. It's always been his will. We looked at the Old Testament. We looked at Psalm 103, verse 3, Psalm 107, 20. And even the Old Testament says one of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. All right? And one of the main enemies, or the number one enemy that prevents people from healing, Brother Hagin said, is that they do not know that it's God's will to heal. That's the number one enemy to healing. And you know what? The devil's going to get right on board and convince you that it's not. Okay? Tell him to shut up. It's none of his business. Okay? We also looked at Exodus 15, 26. And we looked at several scriptures and so forth to help you to understand it always has been and it always will be the will of God to heal you. Number six. Sickness and disease does not come from God. All right? People have, in many cases, they have wrong doctrinal teaching. So they'll think, well, this happened so that I learn about, you know, I get, lesson. I have to learn a lesson. God put this on me for whatever reason. None of that's true because it doesn't come from God. He doesn't have sickness and disease to put on you. All right? And what we have to realize is that the scripture supports this. Acts 10, 38 and John 10, 10. We saw from Acts 10, 38 that it was the Father that anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So the oppression, the sickness and disease comes from the devil, not from God. And we know that Jesus himself said that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But he came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. So always remember that when sickness comes, it is trespassing. Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you have the authority to command it to leave in the name of Jesus. It must obey. Number seven, Jesus came to do the will of the Father. We looked at John 14, 9 to 11. We looked at John 5, 19. And Jesus himself said that he only does what the Father tells him to do and only says what the Father tells him to say. So he was a perfect example of the will of the Father. He came to do what the Father wanted done. So he never went around putting leprosy on somebody. He took it off. He's the one that removed the leprosy. All right. And he, even when there were situations like that, he stepped out into what was not acceptable in that day to touch a leper. The leper was wrong to even be near him, but it didn't matter. Okay. By compassion, he was the one that told the leper, "It is my will, I will heal you." So remember that when we see Jesus, we see the Father. And everything about the Father is seen in Jesus. Number eight was, do not limit God. There's nothing impossible for our God. We looked at Luke 1:37, Luke 18:27, and Mark 9:23. Jesus raised the dead, and so can we. I shared that story with you about one of the Rhema grads who had, her name was Kiki. She had overdosed and was in a coma for a while, and three neurologists had said she was brain dead and there was absolutely no hope for her. And in 10 weeks, she walked out of the hospital completely healed. So medicine does not have the final say. Amen. Okay? So we were praying, we believed, and we, you know, stuck with it. And her husband was a baby Christian. So all we did was, our instructor said to him, "You leave the praying and everything up to us. You just stay there and be there to support her." So
There's nothing impossible for our God. So what I just want to stress here is that how do you see God in your life? How do you see him? We know that he is omnipotent. So what does omnipotent mean? He has all the power and he has all the force. An atomic bomb is nothing for our God. Okay? He's more powerful than that. He's omniscient. Means he's all-knowing. He knows everything. Past, present, future. He's omnipresent, which means that he's everywhere all the time. All right? We can't say that about the devil, but God is everywhere all the time. And then this one I love, he's omnificent. And this means that he is all creative. So he's the one that can fix what it is that's broken. All right? If there's an organ missing in your body, he can replace it. If there's a limb that was amputated, he can cause it to grow out. Okay? So how do you see him? Do you see him as the creator? Do you see him as the one that there is nothing too hard for him? There's absolutely nothing impossible for him. Smith Wigglesworth said that. He said, there's nothing impossible with God, but all the impossibility is with us when we measure God by the limitations of our unbelief. Okay? Now just say this as a little review. There's no deadness in my body that the resurrection power of God can't fix. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Amen. Okay. Stick to that. Believe that. Number 9, Calvary was the great exchange. We looked at that. We looked at Matthew 8:17 and different scriptures that when Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sickness, okay, he's the one that took it so we don't have to. If Jesus already took it, we don't need to keep it. All right? And it was the same exchange for sin. We were had the sin. He was sinless. But he said, I'll take your sin. I'll deal with that. And you're now free from sin. Okay? You have forgiveness. So it's always been the heart of God to heal and repair creation. Number 10, God has promised us long life. Now, that was from Psalm 91:16, and the word says, with long life will I satisfy thee and show thee my salvation. And so we talked about this, how the fact is that I just get so mad at the devil when young people leave here early before their time. There's just want to choke them. No young child, no baby, a mother of 3, 30 years old dies from cancer. These things shouldn't happen, okay? But we're in the driver's seat on these cases. And so if he says, with long life will I satisfy thee and show thee my salvation, okay? And if you're not satisfied when you're 90 years old, you can hang out, okay? Just make sure that when you go home healthy, on your terms. It needs to be on your terms. Simply believe that, okay? We saw that from Psalm 139:14 and so forth. We talked about that. Number 11. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We are no longer under the law. We are under grace. We saw that in Galatians 3:13. Number 12, people must learn to receive. Because healing is a gift, we must learn to receive it. And we looked at Mark 11:24, and it says, I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. And we looked at the word receive there. In that verse, it means take as one's own possession. Take back what the devil stole from you. Then we looked, number 13, was healing of physical conditions many times have a root in the emotional or the mental realm. Now, things cannot be seen in this area, but we know that about 90 to 95% of medical conditions are rooted or stem from emotional events. We talked about it could be a divorce, death of a loved one, loss of a job, relationship breakup. And these emotional scars can be for a lifetime, okay? It could involve that there's unforgiveness of someone, maybe rejection from others, broken hearts, abuse. The abuse could be both verbal and physical. And then, of course, the person could just have sin in their life. What we talked about was get it taken care of, go to God with it, resolve it, and make sure that you deal with any unforgiveness against anyone. Because Jesus totally understands what you've gone through. He knows that, all right? We looked at Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law,
and nothing shall offend them. And we talked about this even in Sunday, our Sunday class, biblical, what are they, new name for it? Biblical enrichment, Bible enrichment, okay, instead of Sunday school class. We talked about that this past Sunday because offense is a choice. If you decide to be offended, if you decide not to forgive someone, that's your choice. Okay? And you don't have to go down that road because it will eventually turn into a sickness and disease. It will eventually create things in your life that are going to be totally upside down and not what God wants for you. So choose immediately. If you experience offense, if you experience something that somebody says that you don't like, immediately forgive. All right? Don't go there. Stay in love because faith works by love. Protect your love walk. Number 14, we said that healing is a process. And Brother Hagin called it happens by degree, all right? So there's two conditions for that process. The degree of healing power is, number one is the degree of healing power administered, and number two, the degree of a person's faith to receive. So we are healed the moment we pray, okay? A baby, during conception, is immediately now has life. Conception is life, okay? Do we see that baby immediately? No. We have to wait 9 months, all right? And along the process in that 9 months, there might be some ups and downs, some, you know, things that happen. But no, it eventually is delivered, and we have life. So healing is the same thing. And we talked about the fact that healing was in the spirit realm, and by faith, we caused it to come into the natural realm. Remember we talked about the airport luggage carousel and said, you know, like I remember Marty Blackwelder talking about that, you know, our healing is there in the spirit realm, but we draw it out by faith. Okay. So we don't go to the luggage rack and pull somebody else's stuff. We go there and we take our own. We take our own. Amen. All right. But it's there. And we do that with our faith. So the work of God is finished. Just go get your luggage. Amen. Number 15, always follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Two people can have the same diagnosis, and the healing for one could be totally different than for the other. The doctors may give them the same prescription, but when you go to the Holy Ghost, when you go to God and you say, "What do you want me to do?" you may get a totally different prescription than your friend. Just make sure you don't copy what anyone else is doing, because it may be wrong. Go to God and find out what he wants for you. All right? Number 16, our power and authority come from speaking. What are you speaking? What are you saying? We need to speak God's words because his word cannot return void. We know it's forever settled in heaven. And what we speak is going to come to pass, good or bad. And Pastor Ed's been talking about that, you know, right and wrong thinking, what we're thinking, because what we think eventually comes out from our mouth, and then we act upon things, all right? So speak to your mountain. That's what you speak to and not about it. Number 17, a person's view and understanding of what I'm about to share is critical in helping them receiving their healing. We talked about three points of view about the body of Christ or the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my question to you is, where do you fit in? Three aspects of the body of Christ. Number one, there's the defeated church. In this view, the church is simply unaware of the fact that we are seated in heavenly places, that Jesus paid the price, all right? It's bad doctrine, it's not accurate, but people don't know, and they think they have to put up with certain things, and that's sickness and disease. So that's the defeated church. Are you there? I hope not. The second one is the militant church. This is where we shouldn't be either. But this is the place where the church, again, has limited knowledge, wrong doctrine, and they are fighting the devil all the time, okay? So they're trying to get victory over Satan, and we are not called to fight devils. We are called to exercise authority over them because Jesus paid the price. So these people are still battling to try and wage war over Satan and try to get victory. They don't realize that the enemy has already been defeated. And then there's the triumphant church. So I hope that we all find ourselves here. That's us.
And we looked at Colossians 2:15. The body of Christ has already been seated in heavenly places. They know their authority, and we exercise it because we've already won. All right? So if not, people will fall into Satan's trap, and he will defeat them by making them think that they don't have the victory. But we know we already have it. So remember, in the church, we are not waiting for anything. The price has already been paid, and we enact it by our faith. And I gave you the little demonstration of how defeated Satan is. Remember, I walked with my hands tied behind my back, and I was in chains, okay? Because that's the way it is. And he tries to manipulate us with deceiving us with thoughts that in this position, as he's defeated, his hands are behind him, and he's butt naked too. That's all. Remember that part. He's butt naked, okay? That he has power, all right? He doesn't. But you have to get the understanding of that. You have to get that personal revelation, all right? So we, as I said, we looked at that in Colossians 2:15. He's already defeated. And so now that finishes on part one, and now I'm going to get into part two. And so number 18, the topic that I want to talk about in depth tonight is God's love for you, and God loves you unconditionally, okay? This topic of love is inexhaustible. People can talk about love all the time, and our pastors do. We get teaching on that. And in one of the healing classes, Pastor Greg talked about the fact that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And I'm going to take that topic, and we're going to go a little further, because there's a connection between understanding the love of God for you and healing. All right? And I want you to try to see that. But I believe that you'll leave here tonight with the revelation that it's God's will to heal, but it's also God who loves you unconditionally. I believe that there are many Christians still today, maybe in the church for years, who are not sure if God loves them. Okay? He'll love Sister Susie, love Pastor Sarah, love so-and-so, okay? But can you personalize it and say, he loves me? He loves me, okay? And that's a question for every Christian. Let's turn to John 3:16-17. John 3:16-17. I'm going to read it first in the New King James, and then we're going to go into it in the Passion, etc. But we read this in service, John 3:16, okay, and we're going to kind of tear it apart a little bit. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Notice here, God loved the world. He is the first one to love. God loved first. Okay? And he gave. He was the first to love and the first to give. He gave before we were even born. And in the Amplified, it says, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he gave. Now, say to yourself there, instead of the word world, put your name in there. And you can say it this way. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized Marie, Jackie, okay? For God so greatly loved and dearly prized Lynette, all right? You have to say that, because it's real easy to think that he loves the world. Yeah, he loves the world, okay? But does he love me? All right? Do you believe you are greatly loved and dearly prized? Think for a moment about going to a museum and seeing a museum masterpiece, a Rembrandt, a Monet or something, okay? And many times, there's millions of dollars of value put on those pieces because they're spectacular, okay? Well, there isn't a price tag that could be put on you. You're that valuable, all right? Think about that. You are so valuable to God that you can't put a price tag on your worth.
But the equation is that you're equal to Jesus Christ. Amen. You are equal to Jesus Christ because God was willing to let Jesus, who he loved, go to the cross for you. So your value is that of Jesus Christ. Amen? And now notice in the Passion Translation, it says, for this is how much God loved you. I'm taking out the word world. This is how much God loved you. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. All right? God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and rescue it. One of Pastor Greg's favorite scriptures, okay? But let's look at the word love in that scripture. In John 3:16, that word love is agape. And we know it to mean unconditional love. And if you've been here any time, you know that there's four words for love in the Greek. And in English, we only use the word love, but you certainly love your cat, different than you love your husband or your child. I hope so. Anyway, so there's four. There's eros, storge, phileo, and agape. But that word in this scripture is the agape. Now listen to this. It's the way God loves. Agape occurs when an individual sees, recognizes, understands, or appreciates the value of an object or person, causing the viewer to behold this object or person in great esteem, awe, admiration, wonder, and sincere appreciation. Such great respect is awakened in the heart of the observer for the object or person that he is beholding that he is compelled to love it. In fact, his love for that person or object is so strong that it is irresistible. The human race was so precious to God, and he loved man so dearly that his heart was stirred to reach out and do something to save him. In other words, God's love drove him to action. Agape love will sacrifice itself for the sake of that object or person it so deeply cherishes. And that's how God is with us. He stepped out and did something for us. Now, our responsibility is to be receptive to this unconditional love. So just let him love you. Just let him love you. Okay? And those of you who are parents can understand this, because if you've had a child, you love them. And especially when they're young, they have no concept of anything, and you love them no matter what, right? And you'll always love them. They could grow up and do every kind of nasty, ugly thing, but you'll always love them. And that's how it is with God. You are the object of God's love. That's what you need to understand. You are the object of his love. So let's turn now to 1 John 4. We're going to look at 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. And I'm going to read them also from different translations. But I love 1 John because it's got so much in it about love. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. I'm first going to read it in the New King James. It says, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, not that we loved God, but that God, that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And you know that the word propitiation simply means Jesus satisfied the divine justice for mankind with God. God was perfectly satisfied after the crucifixion. So notice it has nothing to do with us loving God. Okay? It's that he loved us. The scripture even says it. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Now, let me just take a little side journey here because this was an area that I had to grow in. And from a standpoint of personal growth, growing up, my knowledge of God was more that he was a disciplinarian. Okay? I didn't know about him as being love. I thought of him as a big dude sitting in heaven with the fly swatter waiting for me to do something wrong so he could just zap me. Gotcha. Zing. Okay? And so there was a fear of God, but not a reverential fear, like, you know, it was the kind of fear that he's going to get me. All right? And that was the way I grew up. So you have to change that thinking from the Word of God. All right? So we know him to be love. And it took time for me to understand this. And it also will depend upon the relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. I mean, your biological father, your earthly father. Okay? Because if your earthly father is absent or he is abusive or whatever, it's going to affect your way you think about your Heavenly Father. Okay? So I recall doing a teaching for the prison ministry on love. This is probably about 15 years ago. And as I was doing it, I began to realize, you know, do I really believe that God loves me? All right. And I got into the scriptures. We were in, it was in 1 John. And I had to make some adjustments because it was real easy to believe that God loved everybody else but me. So that's something that you want to really consider and understand. So sometimes this could be a process. This is a critical foundational truth that will lead you to healing because you can know you are loved and healed. He loves you and he wants you healed. All right. Now, a key point about love is that in the Old Testament, they were commanded to love God. But in the New Testament, the focus is that he loved us first. Now, we also have scriptures in the New Testament about loving God with all, you know, spirit, soul, and mind. But the emphasis is that he loved first. That's in the New Testament. Now, remember, the Old Testament was about the law and it was what they had to do. But in the New Testament, the focus is on what Jesus did already. Amen? So under the law, it is due, but under grace, it's done. All right, now, while we're in 1 John, let's look at 1 John 4, 9 and 10, but I'm going to read it now in the Passion Translation. This is I love the Passion Translation. Kind of like, feel like Pastor Greg, it's great. The light of God's love shined within us when we sent his matchless son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love. He loved us long before we loved him, and it was his love, not ours. He proved it by sending his son to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away our sins. Now, jump down to verse 16. This is the one that hit me in the face when I was preparing for this class. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. We have known and believe the love. The Berkeley translation says it this way: we both know and put faith in the love which God cherishes in us. Listen to it in the Passion. We have come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love he has for us. Wow. Can you say that for yourself? That you trust in the love he has for you? You're comfortable with that? Is it connected or related to anything you do?
No.
Right. No, it's not. Is it connected to anything you have done? No. He's always going to love us. He's always going to love you no matter what goes down or went down, okay? He knows that if you were going to do something bad tomorrow, he knows about it. But it's not going to change his love for you. Isn't that awesome to know that? Okay? So you may be trying to connect the dots here with healing, but I'm going to go a little further here. And let me say this, that if you don't get the revelation of his love for you, both that you know it and you believe it, it's going to cause you to look for love in all the wrong places. Amen? Okay. You know what I'm saying, right? Okay. And consequently, the devil will accommodate us with wrong thoughts and eventually wrong believing and then wrong behavior. So let me explain this. Let me go a little further here. Okay. Everybody needs love. Everybody needs to know they're loved. This is a basic, you know, part of our human makeup. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted. We want love, okay?
But let's say somebody goes to the doctor and they're having symptoms, and the doctor says, well, you know, we have to do some tests, and they find out that they have cancer. All right, so now they're in the hospital, they have to have surgery, and all of a sudden they're getting a lot of attention. Okay, attention that they never got before. And with this attention can come a trap that the enemy's going to set. They're getting flowers, cards, candy, visits from family members that they hadn't seen in years. Okay, so, getting sick wasn't so bad. Follow where I'm going with this? People will do that. This can happen. Okay? They like the attention. All right? So a wife finally gets attention from her husband that she never had in their relationship. Okay? And I don't know if you remember Brother Hagin talking about this, but there was people that he ministered to that were in wheelchairs, and there was one woman, and he went over to them, and he was under the anointing, and he was telling them, you know, right, get up out of the wheelchair. And this one lady wouldn't get up. Remember that? And he was like, well, you know, why? And she said, listen, I took care of my husband our entire marriage, and now it's his turn to take care of me. Okay? She wanted attention from the husband, and it was now going to cancel out her healing. And people will do that. Okay? So you have a father who gets to see his children who never came to visit him after he divorced their mother 10 years ago. But now there's a connection. Okay? I'm getting attention. I didn't get attention, but I'm sick, so now they're coming to see me. So many people only get attention when they go to the doctor's office. People out there that have no family, and they go to the doctor's office and say, oh, we feel so bad. Oh, I'm so sorry for you. And they're getting attention. Okay? So instead of abiding in that love from God, they begin to seek the attention, and it's going to take them down a dangerous, slippery slope. Follow? Okay, let's turn to John 15, verses 9 and 10. John 15, because it's so critical when we understand this. John 15, 9 and 10. I'm going to read it first in the New King James. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Again, we're hearing statement after statement, scripture after scripture. God loves you. All right, this is Jesus speaking. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Listen to it in the Passion. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands. For I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. I want that. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. Okay? Let me say it again, because it is so good. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. Of course, I go around and tell everybody I'm God's favorite, but okay, I know he's not a respecter of persons. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. And if you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands. For I continually lived nourished and empowered by his love. He wants you to live nourished and empowered by his love all the time. Let his love nourish your hearts. Let his love nourish your hearts. This is why it is so critical to stay in the Word and in fellowship with the Lord every single day. He's our healer, and he wants that personal relationship with you. Learning to love yourself is the essence of receiving God's love. Okay, when you love yourself, and I don't mean in the opposite way where you're so, you know, out there in the left, okay, but learning to love yourself is the essence of receiving God's love, and it is the ointment that brings healing to your wounded soul. So when you receive God's love and learn to love yourself because of it, you will find rest and freedom. Amen? It's a great place to be. You know God loves you. You've accepted that. You have rest and you have freedom. Let's go to 1 John 4:18 in the King James, 1 John 4:18. And in the New King James, it says, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." We know that, okay? In the Passion Translation, it says, "Love never brings fear, for fear is always related to punishment. But love's perfection drives the fear of punishment far from our hearts. Whoever walks constantly afraid of punishment has not reached love's perfection." So obviously there are degrees of this love, okay? They haven't reached it yet. So the more revelation you have of God's love for you, the less fear that you're going to know. So I have two chairs up here. And this chair is love. And this chair is labeled fear. Okay? So, you get a negative report from the doctor. And where are you in relation to these two things? It's a negative report. It's not good. Okay? They give you 6 months to live. Do you live here? Or where are you going to go? Or where are you going to start out? You've got to make it to the love side. Okay? And sometimes what happens is, it doesn't even have to be something, you know, terminal. So many times people get a negative report and they stay here. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, how am I going to take care of this? Oh, my God. I have, you know, the kids to take care of. I've got this job. What if I lose my job? So it starts to domino effect to endless types of things, thinking, okay? So you're thinking, oh, boy, you know, I wasn't expecting this. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? God, help, you know. And so you're here in the fear side. So what is the answer is to envelop yourself in the scriptures on love, and fear will not be able to attach itself to you. Okay? Fear and love are not going to occupy the same place. Okay? So you stay over here and you keep going towards love to the degree that you are so, and see, you can have fear in your mind, but in your spirit is what's going to dominate. Okay? So what's down here is what's going to be the final say. And the devil's going to shoot the fear at you. He's going to throw thoughts at you left and right. He's going to convince you, oh, are you serious? You really think that's going to work? He's going to hit you with every fiery dart that he can. But remember, he's defeated. Okay? So you have to make the decision. I'm going to walk away from that. I am not listening to that. Shut up. You're trespassing. Leave me alone. And this is where I'm going to go. This is where I'm going to stay. In fact, what you need to do is get over on this side. Because love will protect you. Love will protect you. Okay? You stay on this side, you get so enveloped in the love of God that that will not come near you. It won't be able to affect you anyway at all. Okay? So meditate on God's love all the time, but especially when you've been rejected, hurt emotionally, because it will be the balm of Gilead for you, okay? And again, if you don't have that revelation of how much God loves you, it's going to hinder your receiving from him. Got it? Okay? So if you think that in the process of life, whatever's going on, that you're over here, it's real easy to get over here. Okay? And don't let him drag you back over there. Amen. So stay in this direction and let that love constantly feed you. The word of God and his love for you is out there. But you got to say it. He loves me. He loves me. Okay? So I hope that helps you a little bit. The enemy's going to mess with your mind and plant every negative thought that he can to remind you of every wrong you did. Oh, remember when you were in high school, you did that. Okay. He'll get you to question whether or not God wants you healed. All right? But you have to know that you know that you know that you know that God loves you and wants you healed. He not only wants you healed, he wants you prosperous, victorious in every area of your life. Say this. Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
Say it again.
God loves me.
Now say it with the emphasis on God loves me.
God loves me.
Me. That's right. Say it again.
God loves me.
Again.
God loves me.
Amen. All right. So now let me explain this love from a little different approach. How many here can remember growing up, and maybe even now, okay, when you kind of had like your first love, you were in school, and maybe it was your high school sweetheart that you ended up marrying, okay, and you knew you were in love. How many can remember loving somebody, being in love? You married people better raise your hand. Okay. Whoa. Okay. So you're in love. All right. How did you act? Crazy? Yeah. How did you act? What did you do? Talk. Yeah. What else?
Get it,
yeah. What else?
Can't wait to get home from football practice or work.
That's right. You can't wait to see them, right? You lay in bed at night, can't fall asleep because all you're doing is thinking about them. Right? When am I going to see them? Yeah. How am I going to, you know, work out something to be with them? That's right. Dream about them, right? You are just in love, okay? And so you act a certain way. You do everything you can to be with them, right? So you try to wherever they are. Can I get to see them? Can I get to, you know, spend time with them? Everything is lined up so that you can be with them. Well, listen up, folks. That's exactly how God feels about you.
Amen.
He is deeply in love with you.
Amen.
Deeply in love with you. In fact, you know what? When you think about it, okay, he could be considered a stalker, you know, and not in a negative sense, but, you know, he is with us all the time. He wants to be there for us. He's always looking for an opportunity to bless us. Okay, that's how he feels about us. He wants to reveal himself to you, spend time with you, bless you, heal you, protect you, provide for you, because he is madly in love with you. All right, so always remember that he loved you first, and he's always going to be in love with you, no matter how much we turn our back on him. So maybe in that relationship that you were all goo-goo and gaga over, okay, maybe they didn't care about you, and it never worked out. Well, that people do that to God.
Amen.
Think about it, okay? They turn their back on God. I don't have time for you. Oh, yeah, okay, no, I was out Saturday night. I'm not getting up and going to church on Sunday, okay? But it doesn't change him or stop him from loving you or for being there for you. Got that? All right, because there's a lot of people that turn their back on God.
Yes.
He is always going to cherish you no matter what. Remember that he loved you first, and he's always going to be in love with you. His love is unconditional. It doesn't change. And he loves you so much that he even knows the number of hair on your head, even if there isn't any. Okay? He knew you by name before you were formed in your mother's womb. Okay? So his love for you is incredible. Just incredible. There aren't even words to put out there. So now another key point about this love is that he displayed this love through Jesus Christ when he went around healing those who are not even believers. Nobody was saved when Jesus was here on earth. Nobody was a Christian, okay? But he went around healing, raising people from the dead. There were no prerequisites to what you had to be or do for your healing, okay? Folks, we are in the body of Christ. We are his children. Are we not that much more? Okay? That same love is shed abroad in our hearts for us to display to others, especially to the world. So let's turn to Ephesians 3, 17 and 18. And I want to look at this because Paul prays here that we may come to really know this love. And when we do, we are strengthened in our inner man. And when we are strengthened in our inner man, outward difficulties cannot defeat us. Okay, so I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation, Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. It says, "Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. And in the King James, it says, you know, the breadth and length and depth and height that goes into it. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Wow. We simply have to receive it by faith. That's all we have to do. Simply receive this love by faith. Okay? Now, to be filled with all this fullness of God is not about what we do. Okay? It's not even about your love for Christ. It's actually about knowing his love for you. It's about knowing this love, knowing the love that he has for you. See, the world needs to see this love that we have. Now, let's look at verse 20. We'll stay in that same thing. I'm going to read that also from the Passion. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. And boy, I have a long list. Your most unbelievable dream. I have big dreams. And exceed your wildest imagination. I have a big imagination. Don't know about you, but I do. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. It is all about relationship and not religion, not about works. It's that relationship. How many of you here and remember, this is, because I know Eddie James came, was it last year maybe? But when Eddie James came, one of the young people that came with him was a young man, and I remember that they had a video of him, and I think on one of the occasions he was actually here and gave his testimony. But this young man was into drugs, he was into homosexuality, and he was messed up, okay? And when he hooked up with Eddie James, he didn't really believe that they could offer anything to him. He didn't really believe that it would change his life. So, but this is what happened. Once he got exposed to God, once he got exposed to the love of God, he said, I fell so in love with God that I fell out of the world of homosexuality. Tells you something. There's a lot of people out there that are looking for love in the wrong places, okay? So they get into homosexual relationships, all kinds of things that are not of God, but what they're missing is love. They're missing love in the equation, okay? And when they finally hook up with the love of God, that stuff just falls off them. Praise God. So you may know somebody that's in that situation. Be praying for them. Because when you fall in love, things change. You are the apple of God's eye. And that simply means that it's as though you were the only one. Okay? That's what that means. It's like you're the only one. Now we know from 1 Corinthians 13, we know what love looks like in real life. And those scriptures, many of you probably read them daily. You probably know them by heart. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8 from the Amplified. Love endures long, is patient and kind, is never envious, nor boils over jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It's not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It's not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful, and it takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person, even your enemies. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances and endures everything without weakening. It never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. And as for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. But we know that love never fails. So, if you doubt God's love for you, all I can suggest, all I can recommend is that you meditate on these scriptures that we covered tonight. Because this love is power. And it's a weapon that God wants you to experience, but also to use, because there are people out there who have no clue what the love of God is all about. God is looking for a lover, and that lover is you. He's looking for a lover, and that lover is you. Now, I'm going to give you a little homework assignment. And for the next several days, probably about a week or more, and several times throughout the day, go around saying, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. That's right. God loves me. Personalize it. Say it a lot. Say it throughout the day. God loves me. All right? It's critical. You've got to get that in your spirit. And I hope that you did come out with that revelation tonight that God loves you no matter what and how it's connected to your healing. Because if you start looking for love in the wrong places, and so much of the world does that, you're going to be disappointed. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word cannot return void. We thank you that you are love and you care about everyone here tonight and everyone listening to this. You care about every detail in their life. You want them healed and whole. You want them restored. You want them walking in divine health. You want only the best for them. That's your plan and purpose for them. So I pray, Lord, that they will tap into this love that's unconditional, that's you, but also that is so desperately needed, and that they will not only get the revelation for themselves, but share it with the world. So we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that it is so rich, but we thank you for Jesus. We give you all the praise, the glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.